Remember, Abraham has walked with God before for many years. God has provided for Abraham before, but this was different. Abraham was facing his ultimate test of faith. He's got to put everything on the line and have a radical, radical dependence upon God. The story ends with Abraham coming to the point of actually killing his son, raising the knife over his son's body, bound up on the altar. When God sees Abraham raise that knife, an angel calls out, "Abraham, don't harm the boy in any way. I now know that you truly obey God because you were willing to offer your only son." And there nearby was a ram with horns caught in a thicket. And they took the ram. He unbound Isaac, brought him down off the altar, and sacrificed the ram instead. And this turned into a lesson for Abraham and Isaac, and perhaps maybe even for God, on God's providence. Now, I've spent this whole week in this story trying to find what God is saying to us today, 5,000 years later or so. And I thought about the very many tests that we face every day or in our lives. God provided for Abraham on the mountain that day, even when it seemed like it was impossible to be provided for. God provides all that we need to face the trials and the challenges of living today as well. I could share with you many stories about how God has provided for Pat and I, but the most vivid one was starting out at age 40, going back to college, and not knowing where the money was going to come from for undergrad school as well as seminary. But God provided. And I graduated in 2003 with zero student loan debt, zero debt. In fact, I had $500 left over that I donated back to the scholarship fund from which I received some of that money. As I said, there are many other stories about God's providence in our lives. God provides, but we have to accept God's provision, which comes to us in ways we sometimes don't expect. It reminds me of the story of the man in the flood. You've heard of the flooding out in the Midwest, Minot, North Dakota, in the Midwest. Well, there's a story of a man who was on the front porch of his house, and the fire department comes by in a boat and says, "Come on, get in the boat. The dam's burst. The community's flooded. Get in the boat or you'll be lost." "Nope," the man says, "God's going to provide for me. God's going to provide for me. Thank you very much." A couple hours later, they come back. The man is on the roof of the porch. The water is up to the top of the porch. And he's on the roof of the porch. And the boat comes by again, says, "Sir, come on, get in the boat. You're going to be lost. You're going to be swept away. Get in the boat." The man says, No. "God's going to provide for me. God's going to take care of me." The next time they come around, in about 6 hours, the man is hanging onto the chimney of the house, and the water is ready to sweep the house away. And he looks up, and there's a helicopter with the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard's let down a ladder. And the speaker on the helicopter says, "Grab a hold of the ladder. This is your last chance." And the man says, "No, go away. God's going to take care of me." And the man dies. He drowns as the house is swept down stream, lost. And the man goes to heaven, and he sees God face to face, and he walks up to God shaking his head. He said, "Lord, Lord, Lord, you let me down." He says, "Why didn't you take care of me?" God says, "My son, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. Don't tell me I didn't provide for you." Sometimes we miss how God provides for our needs. And like Abraham, we have to obey God's will. And like Abraham, sometimes we have to be willing to put it all on the line for God, to give it all up, because we know that all things work together for good. And we believe that only good things come from God. if Abraham had not obeyed God's command to sacrifice Isaac on the altar, as strange and as difficult as that may have seemed, he never would have received the blessings that God would send his way later on, as we read about them in the book of Genesis. Likewise, we have to be willing to give it all up if that's what God requires of us. Listen very carefully. The ultimate example of God's providing for our needs, our most important need, is Jesus Christ. Think about that. Did you see the parallels in the story of Abraham and Isaac with Jesus' crucifixion here? Like Isaac, we were all sentenced to die because of our sins. Like Isaac, we were all sentenced to die. We were marked for sacrifice for our sins. One Jewish commentator noted that Abraham placed the whip on Isaac's back and said, "It's like one who carries his own cross upon his shoulder." Like Isaac, we carried our own sins on our backs, like Isaac carried the wood for the sacrifice. And like Isaac, we too were laid upon the altar for our sins to be a sacrifice of atonement for what we had done. And the knife of judgment had been raised upon us, above us, to be plunged into our hearts. But at just the right time, at just the right moment, God said, "Stop. Stop." And God provided a lamb, a sacrificial lamb, capital L. Are you with me? And the Lamb of God was sacrificed on a cross 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem on Good Friday. God provides for us, folks, in ways we don't even realize. When God created this world, did He not provide a place that we could live? This atmosphere that protects us, this ozone layer that protects us, this planet that sustains us? Did not God provide us air to breathe, water to drink, and food to eat? Did not God provide for us families and friends and children? Did not God provide us the means to work, to make a living, to have the things that we enjoy, and to be able to give back to God? Did not God give us bodies that have this miraculous power to heal themselves sometimes, and also the technology for scientists and engineers and doctors and nurses to care for us when we're really, really sick? God's provided, folks, more than we can ever hope or imagine. God has provided everything we need in this life, and He's even taking care of the next life. What's luck got to do with all of this? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. It is God who provides for us. All we have to do is accept it and believe. It's a matter of faith, not luck. At 11 o'clock and 8 o'clock, we sing today, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms of God." And that's what it boils down to, trusting God. I'm here today to tell you folks that God has provided, God is providing, and God will continue to provide for you. God is providing people to come alongside you when you need to help. That is how God provides in many cases, by sending other people, by sending God's people. We are the hands and feet of Jesus sometimes. God is providing us the strength and the comfort to get through that dark valley, that test that we may be going through. All we need to do is trust and obey. There's no other way. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you accepted the truth that Jesus died on that altar called a cross for your sins. You believed that it was faith, and that you were was reckoned to you as righteousness, as it was for Abraham. You did not provide for your own salvation. God did. We can't provide for it. God gave us salvation as a free gift that only needs to be accepted. And you accepted that gift by faith. Or did you? Have you accepted God's gift of grace? That's the question that I leave you with today. Have you accepted God's gift of grace? Eternal life, forgiveness of all your sins, past, present, and future. I want you to leave here today knowing and believing that luck has nothing to do with it. God provides for all our needs, not by our works, not by our good deeds, not by trusting in our own goodness, but by trusting in the amazing grace of God. All we have to do is believe and receive. Lucky? No. Blessed. Take the word luck out of your vocabulary and replace it with blessed. Amen.